Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Evan and Tiki on this beautiful summer-like Monday here in New York City. It's a good day to be a sports fan. It was a hell of a weekend. The New York Islanders extended their season with a double overtime victory on Saturday. The New York Mets salvaged what could have been a brutal, brutal series against the Cardinals with a dramatic win on Sunday. More on that in a little bit. The Knicks went up 3-1. The Rangers swept Washington. And the New York Yankees bounced back from Friday by exploding for 30 runs over 2 days. Helped out by Aaron Boone making a lineup change. Made Alex Verdugo lead dog the cleanup hitter. Anthony Rizzo dropped the 6, and he got red hot. And the Yankees scored 30 runs over the next 2 days. I know you may have missed this, everybody listening, because yesterday was so crazy. You know, you got the Knicks playing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you went to Citi Field to watch the Mets. There were 30,000 people there on a beautiful afternoon. So I don't know how much attention the Yankees and the Brewers got on a Sunday afternoon. But the game changed on, I'm sorry, a dirty play. And I want to address this fully, and I want to explain it fully for those that missed it. The Yankees and the Brewers were tied up at 4. There's a runner on first and nobody out, and there's a ground ball to second base, I think off the bat of Alex Verdugo, and it should be a double play. Aaron Judge is sliding into second base, and one of his arms, I forget which one, is raised high into the air. I'm showing you this on SNY. As high as it can go.
Right arm, right? Yeah.
I don't remember. Maybe it was his left arm. He slides in with his arm extended as high as it can go. And as you know, Aaron Judge is a very, very tall individual. And so the throw hits off of Aaron Judge's arm, which stops the double play from occurring. The Brewers freak out, like, what are we doing here? I mean, the guy interfered with the throw. The umpire says, yeah, no big deal, whatever, let's move on. And then the Yankees take advantage of it to their credit and score 7 runs. Mm. Otherwise, they wouldn't have scored any, potentially. And a 4-4 game becomes 11-4. So Aaron Judge, clear as day, raises his arm up as he's sliding into second base. Now, I want to be fair. I want to give you all the facts here.
Are they protesting?
Well, the umpires admitted after the game they screwed up. Huh. They said, hey, it was not natural. He should have been called for interference. I would have just said, no big deal. But then John Boy opened up a can. And I respect John Boy. I love that he did this. I don't know if it was a defense, but John Boy showed more Aaron Judge slides. And apparently Aaron Judge lifts his arm up every time he slides. Now, you could hear that. I think Sean hears that and says, well, there you go. Case closed.
He doesn't do it on purpose to try to block a ball.
Dude. The guy lifts his arm up every time he slides.
He's a big man.
Oh my God. No. That is completely unnatural. It should not happen. It interfered in that game. It shouldn't occur. And so Aaron's excuse of, well, I do it all the time, that's like telling a police officer, I drive 90 all the time, no big deal.
Are you familiar with the art of falling?
Yes, I do it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, there is an art to falling.
Is there an art to falling?
There is. I had to learn how to fall, play football. You have to, otherwise you can hurt yourself. Aaron Judge is a big man, coming 6'7", down to the ground. There's an art to getting down to the ground safely without hurting yourself. And part of that is displacing your momentum upwards, right? So instead of falling flat, like just sitting down and hitting the ground hard and potentially hurting yourself, you throw part of your momentum upwards so that when you sit down, it negates the fall, right?
Yeah.
And so Aaron Judge slides that way to protect himself. I'm just telling
you. No, because here's the problem. Here's the problem. I know what you're doing. I want to read.
I know exactly
what you're doing, and I'll read the rule to everybody so you understand the rule, because this is the caveat Tiki and Sean are going to throw at me. Rule 601. Slotting into bases on a double play attempt states that interference occurs if a runner does not engage in a bona fide slide and initiates or attempts to make contact with the fielder for the purpose of breaking up a double play. They should be called for interference. So what you guys are saying is because he does it all the time, he's not doing it to break up a double play. But meanwhile, if you lift your arm up, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Is his arm interfering with the fielder?
It did in this case. Dude, it blocked the throw. How is that
contact the fielder at all?
No, he contacted the ball.
Exactly. So he is clear of the rule, and he does it all the time.
Dude, he's forgetting the rule.
He's not. He's just trying to protect his body from slamming 6'7", 260-something pounds flat onto the ground.
With the side benefit of, I'm going to make this throw more difficult because I am putting my paw high into the air where I can clearly block the throw.
Well, did they not watch film?
That's your answer?
Yes.
That basically you just got to throw around his lunging arm?
You have to realize what
he's
trying to do.
That is not a baseball play. Oh, I'm sorry. God. It's just not. The fact that John Boy showed us that he does it all the time just leads me to think, yeah, of course he does it all the time. Figuring for the 1 out of 50 times it works, it pays off. It won the Yankees a game yesterday.
It didn't win them a game.
Dude, it was 4-4. Okay. That inning may not go anywhere.
They scored 15 runs.
I understand it was 4-4 when the play happened.
I agree, but they were going to score a lot of runs anyway.
By the way, I commend Aaron Judge. Like, he's taking advantage of the rules. I mean, good.
I don't think he's even thinking about the rules.
Oh, dude.
I think he's trying to protect himself when he goes and slides.
How is lifting your arm helping you slide?
I just told you.
I don't buy it.
You didn't do that? Twitter baseball? That's the way I learned how to slide.
I lift my arm to slide?
Yes, you either twist and lift your arm, you lift your arm. You don't. How do you slide? You go down like you go down a water slide, but you cross your arms and go down like that?
Let me see what I do. Hold on.
Think about it.
Talk for a second.
Look, all right, Evan's gotten up.
I put my arms down.
Physics tells you to break your momentum of falling, you throw a piece of your body the other way. Mm-hmm. That's physics, right? It breaks your fall. And so he's comfortable. It's uncomfortable to fall. And so he's making himself feel more, I don't know, normal for a big man to fall by throwing his arm into the air.
Then what do you make of the umpires saying they screwed up? Did they not screw up? Should they apologize for apologizing?
I mean, he interfered with the ball. So, yes, they screwed up. So but I don't think he's doing it on purpose.
So he's allowed to slide that way as long as the shortstop doesn't throw it into his arm?
Yes.
Is that what you guys are telling
yes.
me?
Yes.
Think about the
100%.
And think
There's
about the,
no way they're going to police this and say, from now on, you can't slide with your arms in the air.
But Andy Fletcher said it was an unnatural part of his slide. That was the quote that they used because, like me, Andy, now maybe you disagree with him. He's saying that
it's not unnatural. Maybe it's an unnatural part of a 5'10", 205-pound guy.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's different.
But Tiki, here's the similarity. You remember how John Boy did a great job exposing that Jeff McNeil never takes out a second baseman?
Yes.
Just because he never does doesn't make it right. So just because Aaron Judge lifts up his arm every time he slides into second base doesn't make it not unnatural.
But it also
it is unnatural, and that's what Andy Fletcher said at an impact of the game yesterday.
No. But it is natural for Judge, is what I'm saying. That's Aaron Judge's natural slide. It's what he does, and I've told you why 3 times, and I'm going to tell you again. He's a big man. Falling is an art. And I mean that seriously.
Okay.
In football, you learn it. At least the smart ones who want to get healthy, you learn how to fall. So Aaron Judge has probably been taught at some point in his life how to slide. And throwing your arms up breaks your momentum up, right? So instead of going flat down, you throw part of your body up, it lifts you, and then you go down slofter, right? And so he slides that way to protect himself. I mean, he does it all the time.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I understand, but do you think it impact that double play yesterday in the sixth inning?
Because the ball hit his hand.
Okay, so then what do you say? Should they have called interference on the play or not?
Because yeah, they probably should have.
But then you're arguing two different things.
Okay, I'm not. I'm arguing, yes, they probably should have, but what he did is not an unnatural slide. That's all. They're not mutually exclusive.
So you're saying that
two things can be true.
I know, but it convolutes the rule, which is it's only going to be called if it's considered unnatural. Andy Fletcher after the game says, hey guys, we screwed it up. It was unnatural. We looked at the replay. But if he does it all the time, then it isn't unnatural.
Yes.
But you're saying you can only call it if it interferes with a play.
Yes.
Which means here's what I would do if I'm a shortstop. And I know I have no chance to get the runner at first base. I throw the ball right in Aaron Judge. No. But seriously, you're going to call it every time.
You have to throw it into his hand.
Which is tough to do.
Which is very tough to do.
Not that wide.
Which is why this hasn't been an issue. He's been in the league 7 years and slid like this every single time if you watched every Yankee game.
Right.
It's what he does. But that's why it's so rare. Yes, fluky plays happen in baseball. Mm-hmm. Tiki's right. Two things can be true. It's a natural play for Judge, but also at your own risk. If the ball happens to hit your hand, then guess what?
You call
interference.
So they shouldn't have called interference yesterday.
No, they should have.
They should have.
They should have.
They screwed up the call, but it doesn't mean that Aaron Judge is cheating or trying to do anything. It's the way he is natural to fall. And oh, by the way, if Aaron Judge really wanted to cheat and block a throw, you know what he does? Doesn't go and slide.
Stand up.
Because he's 17 feet tall and block that way.
Yes. Right. Yes. That's what he should do. If he wants to break up a double play, just run in there like, oh, man, you got me. Right? If he does that, there's no second baseman or shortstop that's getting the ball around.
How do you slide into second base? You've played softball.
I haven't slid in forever.
You didn't slide during the softball game?
I didn't have shorts on. Oh, I did. I had tights on.
You made a diving catch in center field, so you didn't give a damn about falling.
When I was in Little League, I would always go head first.
Would you really?
Yeah.
See, I could never.
Because I just thought it was cool, and I wanted a dirty uniform.
I could never do the head first slide. I look like such a schmuck if I try to do a head first slide. I mean, I look like a schmuck no matter what I do, if we're being honest. But when I slide, like I would try to slide right now, but my back is just killing me.
Yeah, because you don't know how to fall. Throw your arms up. I bet you hit the ground softer.
Nobody puts their arms up like that.
By the way, I bet you a lot of major leaguers do.
Oh, really?
I know that's the way we were taught to slide. The difference, though, is Judge's height. Yes. That's what creates that ability to do that. He's, again, like the strike zone, being punished for his height.
Well, he wasn't punished yesterday because it was never called.
But the point is now, if it does get called, and it happens to happen again in 7 years because that's how rare it is, he will get called for it.
Yes. Yeah, I don't buy it. I'm sorry. It's very, very unnatural. Even though I did hear your explanation, I don't buy it.
You know what this is?
I listened. I just don't buy it. What?
This is so obvious what this is.
What?
Even Evan, the king of Knick haters, has to give the Knick fans credit. There's nothing to hate the Knicks about that he paced around on Sunday after his game and said, stop it. I need something to
hate.
You
know,
it's going to be Judge.
It's not about hating because I don't hate Aaron Judge. I don't hate the New York Yankees by any stretch. In fact, I rooted for the Yankees to win this weekend. You want to know why?
Because of the man in Milwaukee?
No. Because every time a National League team loses, that's good for the Mets. I don't know who I'm going to be in a race with. The Mets and Brewers could be battling for the last wild card spot. It literally has to do with the fact you know I love baseball, and I watch it all the time. I love baseball, and I've never seen that.
Well, apparently you don't watch enough.
When have you seen it?
Just because the star player in this town slides?
Really? You noticed that till John Boy put the clips out?
Yes.
Oh, stop.
Because it's the way a natural slide happens by throwing your arm up, Bev. You just never noticed it because it took a ball hitting it because you're too busy with your head buried in a scorebook not looking up as somebody sliding into second.
Look at this guy.
I'm a loser. That's a double play. Let's see.
Exactly.
6-4.
I missed some. I'm trying to think. There was something in yesterday's Met game. I went with my wife. We had these really fancy seats. And I looked down and I missed something in the Met game. It was not the Vientos home run. I can promise that. It was something else. Anyhow, let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Tommy in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how are you guys? Good to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Hey, I played Division I ball at a major university, and they teach you, dabbled in a couple minor league camps. They teach you to throw your hands up. Number one, Tratiki was right, to disperse the weight. And also, your hands and wrists are one of your most important tools of a baseball player.
Good point. I didn't even think about that.
If you have them down and your wrist is, or your palm is open, you have a great risk of spraining your wrist. That's why a lot of players will grab gloves and tighten and squeeze gloves so that if you have a fist, you have much less risk of spraining your wrist.
Yeah, you notice that, right? Some guys wear the mitt on their hand. Yeah. Other guys will just hold their batting gloves in their hands. You see it all the time.
I wish Francisco Alvarez took this advice. He wouldn't be out for the next 6 weeks.
Right.
Let's go to Barbara in Middletown. What's up, Barbara?
Hi. Yes. I feel that's his natural slide.
Yeah.
And plus, I don't think that he was doing it to be a cheater. I see it as the Yankees scored four more runs after that.
Yeah. But think about this, though, Barbara. The Yankees took advantage of a break. That's what they did.
That's what good teams do.
Absolutely. I give them credit for that. But if that double play is called, that sixth inning goes nowhere. And now it's the bottom of the sixth inning, and it's a 4-4 game. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what happens after that. Who knows? Do the Yankees probably win? Do they probably explode anyway? Maybe. I mean, their offense clearly got sparked by Aaron Boone making those lineup changes, shockingly enough. And by the way, there is another lineup change today, a historical lineup change today. And I say that to tell you that the Yankee lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Today we are going to see Aaron Judge do something he has never done before as a starter in the major leagues. He is playing left field.
Really?
First time. Alex Verdugo, congratulations. I think him and his wife are expecting, so he's on the paternity list. Mm. I don't know if the baby was born yet or not, so I don't want to prematurely congratulate. Hopefully everything is good and safe. Congratulations to head dog Alex Verdugo, because he's a dog.
If it's a boy, name the boy Dog.
You think so? Mm.
Yeah, Dog Verdugo.
Dog Verdugo. That's not bad.
I like it.
All right. I'm not against that. So because Alex Verdugo is out, Aaron Judge has shifted to left field.
Interesting.
So we got Judge in left, Trent Grisham in center. How bad has he been? And Juan Soto in right field.
Trent can't play left.
Nah, he's a center fielder, man.
I mean, so is Judge.
I know, but he's a really good defensive center fielder. I'm not trying to put Aaron Judge down. I think that Aaron Boone is just putting out his best defensive lineman. So here's your lineup tonight against Grayson Rodriguez. Volpe, Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Wells, Gleyber, Oswaldo Cabrera, and Trent Grisham. Feels different when you don't have Alex Verdugo in it, mm-hmm. who became the cleanup hitter a few days ago and was raking.
Right.
He was hitting the ball all over the place. And this is one of those, like, sneaky big series, is what I like to call it, because you only play your division rivals 13 times now. Mm-hmm. There used to be a time where you played them 19 times. The Yankees' fiercest rival in the American League East is the Baltimore Orioles,
Right, like, on their heels.
Right now the Orioles, I think, they're a game behind because they lost. Right. The Orioles just lost 2 out of 3 to the Oakland A's. So if everybody down about the Yankees split, look at that.
Didn't the Yankees split with them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because of the Yankees split. Then
maybe the A's are scrappy.
Maybe the A's are actually decent. No, they are getting some like oddly good performances from some of their pitchers. Anyhow, the Yankees are a game up on the Orioles, and I think we would all agree that even though it's April 29th, the Yankees and the Orioles are going to battle for the American League East. Right, that's at least my prediction. I think the Yankees will win the American League East, but I definitely have the Yankees and Orioles battling as your top two teams in the division. If you agree with that, then a four-game series of the 13 that you're playing, which means you're about to play 33% of your games against the Orioles that you're going to play for them this entire season, these are pretty big games.
Yeah, huge games.
And it leads to a question.
What's that?
A question that's been on my mind since I realized it. How many Yankee fans are going to make that trip to Baltimore? Because you know what it gives you the possibility to do? Thursday doubleheader. Yankees, Orioles, 1 o'clock, Camden Yards. Knicks, Sixers if there's a game. Possibly 7:30, maybe later in Philadelphia. How about that doubleheader?
How many already did the two yesterday, stayed in Washington, and went to the Baltimore game today?
That's right. You could have done that. You could have stayed in D.C. after the Rangers swept the Capitals and then went to Yankees Orioles.
So it's April. April 29th just doesn't feel like a natural day off.
Dude, it's 90 degrees outside.
I know, but
you call your boss and you say it's a day off.
You didn't know that, though. And, you'd have to already be down there talking about staying.
Oh, yeah, you know what a natural day off is?
What's that?
I can't make it into it. There has to be somebody.
I think more of taking a long weekend makes sense.
Yeah. So you think staying through Monday, Tuesday is not a common thing?
No.
You don't think there's anybody listening right now on the Odyssey app driving to Camden Yards saying, what's Tiki talking about? I just did Rangers Capitals. And I'm going to Yankees Orioles. And by the way, speaking of takeovers, and I've lived down in Maryland. I worked down in D.C. for a couple years. Did Baltimore Sports Talk Radio for a short period of time. The Yankee fan takes over Camden Yards like it's nobody's business. Like it's nobody's business. So regular season game on a Monday night when it's 90 degrees outside, I'd say 25% of the building is is Yankee fans tonight.
That's why so many Yankee fans didn't want a new Yankee stadium, because we already had a newer version of a stadium in Baltimore. We played a couple home games on every year.
Oh, bingo.
Trash.
And by the way, that's a great stadium. Have you ever been to Oriole Park?
I have. I have. I went down there when CC pitched one. Those were years a while ago then, obviously. But
playoffs?
I don't think so.
No.
Tiki followed CeCe around like some people follow Springsteen.
Yeah, I did. I was a groupie. I got to admit, I was a groupie.
No, I understand. If there's anyone to be a groupie on, why not CeCe Sabathia? Let's go to Marlon down in Florida. What's up, Marlon?
Hey, Arab Tiki. What's going on, guys?
That was good, dude.
What's up?
Hey, thanks for having me. So I wasn't at the game yesterday. Obviously, I'm in Florida. But a friend of mine was, and there's video evidence to prove this. But I guess the influx of Knicks fans kind of alerted everybody in Philadelphia way before the game started that there were vendors, I'm talking about plural, vendors selling Knicks merchandise outside
of here. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Dude,
what?
I'm not lying. It's on the internet. Like, I've seen it. I didn't believe them, and then I saw it pop up.
You know what? I have to admit, Marlon, it's good business. I mean,
it's good business.
It's good business.
Man. That is trifling. I mean, for real? You're selling Knick jerseys outside of Wells Fargo?
Hey, Philadelphia.
Just for a buck?
Hey, Philadelphia, if you're listening, here's a headline. Tiki Barber calls your city trifling. Put that one out digital.
That's just not right.
That's trifling to you?
Yes.
I mean,
that's just dirty. It's dirty to the city.
You got 9,000 customers who are really excited. You may as well sell them a bootleg Jalen Brunson shirt.
But don't you think if you're taking the hike down to Philly, you already have a Knicks jersey?
You probably do, but you're always open to buying something new.
And so you're going to be like, you know what? This Knicks jersey is special.
Well, you
why? Because I got it in Philly.
No. See,
I mean, come on.
And they do this at Oriole Park. It's funny because we were just talking about
Yankees
this.
Gear?
All the time. Yankees gear, Red Sox gear, like teams would take turns taking over Oriole Park, especially when I lived down there. I lived down there in the post Cal Ripken Jr. world, 2003,
now,
2004.
You ever think that the Link would sell Giants jerseys?
No, not at this point, no.
Ever.
I can't say never because things change, man. Like they could. What if the Eagles suck for 25 years and they're terrible and they hate their organization
and the Giants are a juggernaut? I can't imagine a New York team doing that.
Well, I don't think it's the team doing it. It's people being smart. So if I was a bootleg shirt maker down in Philadelphia, here's what I would do. And I would have made a fortune.
Are we talking T-shirts or are we talking like jerseys?
It's usually T-shirts and hats that are bootleg. That's what they sell.
Right.
So I would make up.
But he made it sound like you're selling jerseys.
Maybe they include jerseys too. I mean, they could do both. I would make a t-shirt. I would have made a fortune off this. I would have sold a t-shirt that said New York Knicks, Philly Takeover 2024, Game 4, Eastern Conference first round. Mm. I would have marked the occasion with a shirt. Dude, everybody would have bought that. Because they would have been like, yeah, I got to commemorate what I just pulled off.
Yeah. It's true.
See, I'm like a smart businessman. We'll come right back. More of your phone calls, 877-337-6666. Real quick, before we listen to Tiggy announce the second and third round draft picks, and of course get back to your phone calls, a random star NFL player was at yesterday's Mets-Cardinals game. Okay? Random as all hell.
Random meaning not a New York athlete?
No connection in New York that I'm aware of, but an absolute star. We've all heard of him. Not naming somebody that random in terms of playing ability. Hmm. And they announced him on the scoreboard at Citi Field. And I remember being like, what? Yeah.
So he's not from here?
He is not from here.
He did not playing here.
Did not play here. Has never played here.
Does he have
here.
A famous girlfriend?
Does he have a famous girlfriend? Are you asking about Travis Kelce?
No, I'm just wondering.
I am not familiar with this man's love life, but I could tell you he's a four-time Pro Bowler.
Ooh.
I could tell you he was a guy that Giant fans wanted drafted, and then something happened that caused maybe the Giants to be scared off. That's
Larry,
a good
Larry
hit.
Tunsil?
Laramie Tunsil, ladies and gentlemen.
What is he doing in Mets Cardinals? Right,
that is bizarre.
Dude, I have no idea. All of a sudden, they're like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Citi Field. Four-time Pro Bowler, Laramie Tunsil. And he got very little reaction.
Yeah, because most people probably didn't know who the hell he was.
That's a fair point. And my wife's like, is he any good? I said, yeah, he's a tremendous football player. He's just random.
Is he a free agent?
No, I think he's still with the Texans. I don't think he's gone anywhere. I think he just signed an extension, actually.
No, he did.
Yeah.
Because I called one of their games last year.
Yeah.
What the hell is he doing here?
He wants to watch the Mets play.
Why would they know, and why would they announce him? That's even more bizarre.
Yeah, that part I'm not sure of. Why the Mets said, let's announce
just happened
him.
To, I mean, he's big as hell. Like, you can't miss him.
Right.
Like, he's an enormous human being, so I guess somebody who's like, hey, I know that guy, or look at that guy.
Right.
That has to be somebody. Oh, that's Laramie Tunsil.
You think the Mets went up to him and said, you're famous, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm Laramie Tunsil.
No, I'm sure somebody knew who he was.
Yeah, my assumption is he got free tickets. Maybe Laramie Tunsil loves baseball and called up the Mets, right?
You know where he was sitting?
I was sitting in some bougie seats myself, might I say. Uh-huh. Got it off SeatGeek at the last second. It was tremendous. Unlimited booze. By the way, when you get unlimited booze, should you tip the bartender?
Yes.
Good. Did that very well.
Yes.
That guy loved me. He didn't know who I was, but he was a big fan of me because
Who did we tip when we went to the Legend Seats? What was her name? Rose?
Or Flo. Flo. One of those types.
Whatever her name was.
Flo.
But we loved her, and I tipped her well. You know why?
What?
Because she made fun of you like we were making fun of you.
Oh, because I left to score the game?
Because you left to go out and score the game.
That's a good point.
And it was like, I don't know, 20 minutes before game time?
Yeah.
And she asked where our friend went. We're like, oh, he's out there scoring the game.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is also why you had to tip well, because Evan left before he could tip at all.
I didn't get anything in fairness.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't buy anything. But yeah, I know, yesterday I was tipping like a mother bleeper. You know what I mean? I was like, here's a five, here's a ten, here's a five. I was a baller. I was feeling good. Anyhow, Tiki Barber had this really cool honor over the weekend, if you didn't hear it, to announce the Giants' second-round pick and the Giants' third-round pick. I have not heard this. I am just out of morbid curiosity. You know, want to see what you did. Were you straightforward? Did you? What'd you do? So, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tiki Barber announcing the second round pick by the New York Giants.
Good evening, Detroit. A special shout out to former New York Giant and now your beloved head coach, Dan Campbell.
What?
Come on.
I know how to get it through.
I see you, G-Man. With the 47th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Football Giants select Tyler Newbin, safety, Minnesota.
Okay, so can I give you my opinion on this?
Yes.
First of all, the way you said Tyler's name, the excitement, I thought that was badass.
Mm-hmm.
Football Giants, I love that. I love New York Football Giants. I think it's a great addition.
Yes.
But what the hell was that?
I love Dan Campbell.
Bro.
He's my dude, man.
I know that.
He's the man. And by the way, I just watched the first round. And saw Commissioner Goodell try to get the crowd on the side by bringing out Eminem. And it didn't work.
You did?
It didn't work. So what? I knew there was one way to get a cheer. Because I've been retired for a long time.
Yeah.
So half these people probably don't know who the hell I am.
It's possible.
Was to shout out Dan Campbell, who happened to be a former New York Giant, a third round pick.
Like,
out of Texas A&M.
I I know, and I think anyone who listens like religiously knows that you love Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. So it's not something you just made up or pulled out of your ass.
Right.
But that is, I mean, that's a kiss ass.
It's pandering. By the way, I go back into the...
he admits it.
I go back into the, in, whatever, the green room, the waiting room, where I sent you that guy's picture. For the third round pick, I took a video of them writing the name out, and I sent it to the guys. It was kind of cool. And then they handed it to me. But I go back there, and Roger Goodell is coming on right after I am. And he says, oh, you shouted out Dan Campbell. I was like, yeah, he's my former teammate. Plus, I knew how to get a cheer.
Unlike you, Kamish. You should have thrown that part in.
No, he just smiled. He's like, ah, good one, Deke.
All right.
By the way, we got to get him on the show. I told him.
Roger Goodell?
Roger, you got to come on our show.
Bring him on.
Lots going on with the hip drop tackle, the 18-game schedule, the three-day holiday weekend he wants the Super Bowl on.
I'd like a piece of his mind on the NFL on Christmas, too.
Right.
NFL on Christmas, right. NFL in Europe.
There's a lot, in South America even. There's a lot to talk about.
I'm trying to think. Like, I've had so many issues with Roger Goodell as a commissioner, and lately I forgot them. Like, right. So you telling me this is a reminder. I have to rethink what my issues are, so I got to write them down because it's probably the one opportunity.
You have one issue with Roger Goodell.
What's that?
He makes $60-plus million a year.
That's not my issue with him.
I'm just kidding.
I don't care how much he makes. I'm not a socialist the way Sean is.
I'm just jealous of it.
Oh, you're jealous of it.
Yeah.
I can understand.
A lot of money.
So what did you think of that introduction? Did you like that second round pick intro?
I loved it.
Thank you, Giant fan.
I was fired up. I had a feeling he'd lean Dan Campbell to the line thing.
Of course.
But
I mean, I'm in Detroit.
He admits it's Painter. Why didn't you shout out Lomas Brown while you were at it?
I mean, because Lolo's my guy. He still calls me Lil-ish. Lil-ish. Hey, Lil-ish, what's up?
All right, here's the
little-ish.
Here's the third round pick that Tiki got to announce.
27 years ago,
me
and my identical twin brother were picked in the 1997 draft. I went as the 36th pick. My brother was the sixth pick in the third round. He's now a Hall of Famer. With the sixth pick, the 70th pick overall, in the third round of the 2024 NFL draft, the New York Giants select cornerback Andrew Phillips, University of Kentucky.
I don't know.
Good luck, Andrew.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, my God, you set him up all right. Dude, compared him to Rondé.
Right.
Jeez.
Just because you're picked in the third round doesn't mean you can't be a Hall of Famer.
That's true. Good luck, Andrew.
It's a message.
I love that.
Message in my announcing.
Well, there's a lot of messages. Like, one message would be inspirational, like, hey, you can be great even if you're in the third round. The other message could be, go live up to that.
Well, this is what...
Shouldn't you? That's what you think. It's when you get drafted.
Of course, yeah.
Like, live up to the... Exceed the expectation.
No, I get it.
A lot of people will say, yeah, he's just a third round pick. Yeah, he's just that guy.
Yeah, but you know what you did to Sean? You got Sean thinking Andrew Phillips is going to be the next Rondé Barber.
But that's what I need answered out of your mouth today, Tiki Barber.
What's his?
Were you doing the Rondé shtick if they weren't taking a big physical nickel corner?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they took a lineman there, you still would have done the Rondé thing?
No.
Oh, so it was about the fact that he was a corner in that spot?
Yes, just the corner.
Okay.
In that slot.
I like it.
So they took
27 years ago, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers drafted a corner with the sixth pick in the second round, or third round. It happened to be, at that point, the 66th pick because there were only 30 teams at that point.
Mm.
So in this year's draft, it's the 70th pick.
So it's the same pick, but it's not the same pick.
Right, yes. But the point is
but you wouldn't have done it if it wasn't a corner. Like, if they had taken Spencer Rattler, weren't saying it.
Exactly.
Okay,
right.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Don't you guys know how to, like, win a room?
No.
You have
why
to relate.
We have you with
to,
us.
You
do you realize who you're sitting next to?
Yes. You have to understand what where you're at.
Right.
Who is your audience? And what can you say that's pertinent to them?
Right.
So that's the Dan Campbell thing. It's easy.
Okay.
Like, you just you get them on your side.
Right.
Right. You make them laugh. You make them cheer. They're immediately on your side.
Right.
It's winning room one-on-one.
It's pandering.
Right. It's pandering.
Yeah.
And then when you're still on the stage, you got to be interesting. You got to make them care about why would anybody care about the 70th pick right now? Nobody cares. But I can tell you why the sixth pick in the third round is interesting to me. Right. And it's my story. It's personal because obviously it's Rondé. But now you hear it and you relate to it. Right. So you're now relating to Andrew because of how I set him up.
Did you think about it ahead of time or were you on
about
the stage?
I thought about it when I got the card. And so I was like, who is this? What's his name? Because his name is spelled, you know, differently. It's
A-N-D-R-U, right?
U. Obviously, it was clearly Andrew, but they even said it on the card.
Right.
So I knew that.
And then I was like, all right, what can I say about him? Because I don't know anything about him. I've never seen him play. I don't watch Kentucky football. And so I noticed sixth pick, third round. I'm like, oh, wait, Rondy was a sixth pick in the third round. He was also a corner out of a smaller school, Virginia, Kentucky. Not expected to be a big deal. But here he is, played 16 years, and he's in the Hall of Fame now.
Right.
So Andrew Phillips, guess what? You could follow in the path of another sixth round or third round pick who was sixth overall in that round and do something great.
Yes. By the way, now that he no longer works with you, we can be clean about it. Yeah. How glad are you that you don't have to spend more time with Matt Ryan anymore?
Stop. I love Matt Ryan.
Got him on that booth.
Matt Ryan was the best dude in
Matt
the world.
Ryan is going to the CBS pregame show. Congrats to Boomer Esiason. He had a great run doing it.
Unbelievable run. 22 years, Boomer?
22 years,
man. You should celebrate the career that he had because, I mean, first of all, as a player, right, and getting to a Super Bowl and MVP, but then being a voice for professional sports on CBS for that long, I mean, it's amazing. And Phil as well. I mean, Phil, giant legend, obviously. 20 years in the booth, I think? And then 7 years.
When did he start broadcasting? Because last year with the Giants was 93, which I remember. It was like one of the first years of football I remember as a kid.
I want to say
did
it
he
was
go
like,
right into the booth?
I think it was a couple years after. I think it was maybe 97, 96, 97. I can't remember. But he was in the booth for 20 years, though, as a lead analyst. And then 7 more years on NFL Today on CBS. So both those guys had unbelievable careers. I mean, sometimes it's time for a transition.
Well, this is one of those things. Let me tell Boomer something. Let me give him some advice, and I'm sure Gio's already given it. It's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened. I mean, who the hell wants to work on a Sunday, especially a football Sunday, and just wake up, eat, read the newspaper, and then football comes your way at 1 o'clock? That man has worked every football Sunday for the last million years. He doesn't even know what it's like to be Sean Morash with 100 TVs and while stuffing food in his
didn't
face.
He used to do the Monday night game as well on Westwood One.
For many years, I remember
when I first got into media, I looked up to Boomer because he was such a hard-working guy.
Yeah.
Right? It's like he did everything.
Do you not look up to him anymore because he's lazy now? He's only doing the morning show.
He's a colleague now. It's different.
He worked every Thanksgiving.
But when I was a player transitioning obviously into media, Boomer was a guy I'd look to.
Yeah, sure.
Just simply for an example, right? Just try and do everything because you never know what it's going to lead to. So hats off and kudos to Boomer Esiason, great career at CBS.
No doubt. And
Phil
is,
Sims as well.
This is something Craig used to say a lot, and he's not here to say it, so I'll repeat it because he said it to me, and I was like, you know what? That's a really good point. You're right. When you look, and this is not about the player anymore when it comes to Boomer, his impact on the NFL, the playing, and then the broadcasting, and then the pregame show, that's a Hall of Famer. That's a guy who just did like everything, you know?
Well, he's synonymous with the NFL in so many ways.
No question.
And he did it with an unbelievable organization. I'm obviously biased because I've been with CBS for a lot of years now, but, I mean, they do things the right way. And they're making a transition. They're getting a little bit younger. With Matt Ryan, who I love, when Ross Molloy, my boss, asked me about Matt after the first 3 or 4 games, I said, the one thing about Matt, dude is a great teammate. Great, phenomenal teammate. It was no shock why he was so successful in Atlanta. And he's going to do the same thing for the NFL Today with Nate and JB and Coach Cower and JJ Watt. I think he's part-time, JJ. Well, at least that's what the article read. But whatever. Matt's going to be phenomenal because he's a grinder.
So are they going to stick another voice with you, or is it just be you and Catalan?
Don't know. Find out in a few weeks.
Can I get my endorsement?
What, for me?
Don't stick anybody with him. let Tiki and Catalan make beautiful music.
Bat's daddy.
That's what I would say. Catalan is very good.
Did I say that on the broadcast?
That is you, yes. Yes, that is you.
Evan, by the way, 94 Sims rent right to announcing NBC first with Dick Enberg.
That's right.
And I'm surprised you don't know this. Also did sidelines for the NBA on NBC.
I don't remember that.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I do not. How long did he do that?
Phil Sims in, I guess it looks like 94, 95, 96 in that era.
And so he came to CBS and...
After that, he went to CBS in 98. He was with Gumbel and then went to the lead team in 2003 with Nance.
That's a hell of a run he had.
Wow.
So, yeah, Phil. So, basically, he retired and went right to broadcasting.
Right.
So, one thing Phil and Boomer will love, and I think they will both realize why the hell haven't I been doing this for the last 10 years, is Sundays. Sundays are special. Sundays are great. And part of what makes Sunday great, you don't experience this anymore, Tiki, sorry, is waking up knowing you have no responsibilities except football. except taking mozzarella sticks, shoving it down your throat, right, and watching football. I have my wife and kids trained to know that it's a holiday.
Oh, yeah.
They know.
Right.
But I kind of miss it now, thinking about it here in the latter part of April.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to eat nachos, and by 8:30, my underpants smell like Fromunda cheese.
You're discounting how awesome it is to do what I do, though.
I know.
I'm just telling you, walking into a stadium, knowing you're going to be the voice of whatever happens that day, it's pretty damn cool.
No, that is cool. I'm just saying that what we do is a little bit cooler.
Yeah, which is drinking.
Drink, fart, watch football.
Gamble.
Not even care. Yeah, you can't be doing that. All right, let's get to your calls. 877-337-6666. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 list coming up at 5 o'clock. And the New York Mets are faced with a very interesting decision over the next couple of days we'll explore in the 5 o'clock hour. But let's go to George in Jamaica, New York. What's up, George?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I went to game three in Philly, and that caller before Marlon was talking about guys selling Knicks stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. There was people out there selling
things.
That's
crazy, man.
But the thing that's funny is, you know, the average person can't go to Madison Square Garden to watch these playoff games.
Right.
Tickets are $450. I paid $120 to sit in the Revolutionary Row upstairs. Mm. And by the way, Tiki.
Yeah.
You know, it was a timeout when you was doing your when you did the Kentucky pick. So all the Eagle fans upstairs were booing you.
I love it. I love it.
And I'm like, what's the booing going on? I'm like, oh, Tiki Bob is doing the he's doing the draft pick. But it was pretty funny.
Well, they can all go scratch, because at the Super Bowl, my brother got in the Hall of Fame. They booed him too. So eat it, Philly.
Very nice. Hate to say it, I'm a Bucks fan as well. But
right.
You know, the funny thing is, the tickets down there, the Revolutionary Row, I paid $120.
Yeah.
I looked at the tickets for Game 5. There's no way. And I live here in New York. I've been a Sixers fan before you guys were born.
Mm-hmm.
So I throw that out there, too. I'm a Dr. J guy, so you can see how far back
right.
I go.
Yeah, well, we had him before you had him, so there you go.
Well, Evan, in your defense, you know what you can tell every Knicks fan.
What's that?
You can tell every Knicks fan that your team won the last professional basketball championship with New York.
I know. I've tried to do that, but it doesn't stick as well. He brings up a really, really good point of affordability. It is not affordable to go to Madison Square Garden. And it makes perfect sense why. The games are sold out. Mm-hmm. There's a big demand for it. The secondary market goes crazy. And so if you want to go to the Garden tomorrow night, it's costing you $1,000 to get a pair. And how going to Philadelphia has been more affordable. I've already started to do some research. Because even though you shouldn't do this as Knicks fans, I'll do it for you. I'll be your liaison since I helped you go to Philadelphia with the Revolutionary Row or whatever the hell it's called. I'm looking ahead to Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same damn thing. $120
really?
Bucks to
yeah,
get in.
Yeah, but that's a flight.
Tiki, let me tell you a story. Beningo and I drove to Indiana, and we drove back, and we did it numerous times, and it's not that bad.
How far is it?
It's 11 hours.
Oh, dude.
It's 11 hours.
That is brutal.
So you don't want to do it?
No.
Loogie, would you do it?
Fly, yes. Drive, no way.
No chance.
Well, look, the flying adds to the cost, and I have no idea what flights cost right now from New York to Indiana.
You're paying for it anyway, so what do I care?
I'm not paying for that part. I'll pay for the ticket. I ain't paying for your flight.
So the company will pick it up.
Will they?
No.
What planet are you on? And forget the company. I'm talking about for anyone else out there. Like, if you don't want to spend $1,000 to see the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, I get it. It's a lot of money. It's possible it will cost you less than $1,000 to see the Knicks play the Indiana Pacers
right.
in Indiana.
With the flight. No doubt.
Because if you buy, like, right now, you could sit, and it's not even the worst seats in the house by any stretch. Like, they're upstairs, but, you know, not too high up. $126 per ticket. So if you buy two tickets, you're at $320. The flight's not costing you $800.
No.
So it's the same thing even with Indiana.
Because it's a short flight. It's an easy, like, it's probably a small plane. It's an easy flight.
It's an easy flight. I'll tell you the other place you should go, by the way, better than Indiana. And I'm not talking about opponents. I'm talking about ticket prices coming down. Milwaukee. Because the Bucks fans are fat. They've seen it all. Mm. They've won a championship. Giannis may not be healthy. They may not be healthy. If the Bucks somehow got through this round, I bet you there won't be a lot of value for those tickets. I bet you Knicks fans fill up that arena.
They're not getting through this round. It's 3-1 also, right?
So you can come back from 3-1.
Mm.
I've seen it before.
Mm.
Without your two best players.
Exactly. Are you dunning the Milwaukee Bucks?
I was just saying, without, you know,
Antetokounmpo, it's going to be difficult.
You just wanted to say his name.
I did.
Brilliantly done.
Yeah, I picked Indiana before the series, so I'm certainly not backing out now, especially with these injuries. You're right about that. Real quick, Chris in New Jersey. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good. What's up?
How you doing? You hear me?
Yeah. Yep. What's up?
So, I want to go back to the judge thing, if that's all right.
Yeah, man.
All right. So, I just got a quick question, if you bear with me. If the runner's running down the baseline, first base, the catcher picks up the ball and throws it into the runner's back, and he's in the baseline, is he out for interference?
Well, if he's running in the baseline,
you mean
no.
In his way,
he's allowed to run.
Yeah.
You know?
No, he's not out.
Right. If a runner's on second base and the batter hits a deep fly ball or right field, he tags up and the guy on right field throws it and the runner hits the ball.
It's not the same. I know what you're trying to do, but here's why it's not the same. Aaron Judge was lifting his arm up. So I'll give you another. I want to take your question. I want to add to it. So Francisco Lindor was called out for running out of the baseline. I forget which game of the series, Friday or Saturday.
He was in the grass, though, man.
Correct. Look at you. You're all over it. I thought I was going to slip that by him. And he's like, no, he was in the grass.
He was
illegal.
In the grass.
If you're 100% right.
Run on the dirt.
If Lindor was running in the baseline but was running by raising his hands, because that's how he runs. Uh-huh. That's how they teach him how to run.
It's not, the ball hits
his arm. No, but okay, that's how he's taught.
Right.
Like, I was watching Curb the other day. I finally got through the last episode, and there was this funny throwaway line that Larry was lifting up his legs and saying, this should be a new form of walking. I'm going to start a new trend. Well, let's say Francisco Lindor starts a new trend in which he's running and his arms are flailing through the air like that. I mean, you laugh, but let's say I did it. It's good for my back.
Right.
And the ball on a throw hits his arm. Is that legal?
It depends. It'd be more interesting if you said he was running like this, like he was swimming.
Oh, so like his arms were going
right,
wide?
Right, going wide. And while his arm was out, the ball hit it. Would that be it?
Yeah. I know this is obscene, absurd, but I'm just saying, like, what Judge did by lifting up his arm is kind of absurd. Mm. Sean's got a Cinco de Favo list coming up. We'll get back to your phone calls, including Knick fans invading Philadelphia.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.